lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 16, stanzas 4, 5, and 9. Thou, Lord, art a refuge for all the oppressed. All trust thee who know thee, and trusting are blessed. For never, O Lord, did thy mercy forsake the soul that is sought of thy grace to partake. 4, 5, and 9 of Psalter 16.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first book of Kings and thereof chapter 3. But before that, we make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 3. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And this speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty Creator of heaven and of earth, and also the Redeemer of thy people, thou hast thyself decreed in that stillness of eternity who should be thine, and the warfare that should be upon the earth, when thou didst say, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And thus once again, in this Sabbath, first Sabbath of this new year, that warfare does continue, especially within thy house of God, where thou wilt be the robber of hell by the power of thy most Holy Spirit. And when men are conceived and born in sin, and who are children of wrath even as others, and when thou wilt send thy Spirit where two or three are gathered in thy name, there to be in the midst, and there to hear the cry of those who beseech thee, that thou may increase thy kingdom. And there thou wilt come to give life from the dead, to cast out Satan, and to bring into thy kingdom those who are lying polluted in their own blood, cast out in that open field. And so that warfare thou givest to continue unto the youngest day of this world. And then Sabbath after Sabbath day, and thou dost give thy word to go forth, that it may be as a sharp two-edged sword in thy mouth, and that thou wouldst give the true convincing of sin, and that thou wouldst make men to cry out under their wretchedness, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O Lord, may it be also in this place, in this thy house of prayer, that there may be many that must cry out, carry me out of the battle, for I am sorely wounded, that the arrow of thy holy law may be shot forth, and that it might enter, and that we may become in truth a sinner before God, and that it may not be a mere profession, but that it may come out of the deepest recesses of our heart, under a feeling sense of our wretchedness and our misery, and that we are lost creatures before thee, and that we cannot stand before thee in the judgment, and that we are traveling to our eternal damnation. Oh, that thou mayest awaken many in the days in which we are living, wherein Satan's devices are so strong and they are so multiplied. O Lord, we can only ask it of thee. And many labors are put forth in the midst of thy church, and they are so feeble, and we are so ignorant, but thou art mighty, and thou art full of wisdom, and thy decree thou wilt fulfill. O Lord, thou who hast sworn that covenant, and thou who hast made it with Abraham and his seed, oh, that thou mayest come and look upon us and upon our dear children. Leave us not in that state and condition wherein we are born. It is a state of enmity against thee, even though we may have much show of religion, but we are nothing in ourselves but Pharisees in thy sight. And thou didst condemn them because they did strain at a gnat and they did swallow a camel. O Lord, that thou mayest show it unto us all together, that we may be given that true heartfelt repentance, a godly sorrow for our sin, and that thou mayest work this in abundance among us, that there may come a weeping among us, O Lord, and that there may come a sorrowing among us, which we cannot give ourselves or one another, and that there may come a need, a blessed need to be delivered, because thou knowest the depth of the pit wherein we have brought ourselves, and thou hast sent thine only begotten Son into this world, and there is a people to whom thou hast revealed him, and that may experience what Christmas is in their own heart. But now they must be brought beyond that wicked gate. They wilt thou bring them, O Lord, now into that house of interpreter, that there they may receive instruction from thy Holy Spirit, and that they may know also more and more how to make use of that salvation and that Savior whom their eye has been given to see. That in all of their need they may see the blessed use of his offices, of his natures, of his states, and of all of his works. That they may be given more and more to see what lieth in him, the great strength of his divinity, and the great mercy that is lying so manifest in his humanity. Oh, that there may be a people
who may draw near in their trembling unto that Son of Man whom thou hast sent into this world, and that are not able to stand at thy judgment, but that may approach unto the footstool of him who is meek and lowly, and who has said time and again, here in this world I will be thou clean. O Lord, give that people to draw near who are fearful. Wilt thou give them to draw near to beseech for the wisdom of thee, and that they may be under thy judgments, and that they may experience who that thou art as the King of thy church, and that thou wilt care for the needy when he crieth. Oh, that thou wilt deliver the helpless ones, that thou may remember all, and that to feel and experience their guilt. All that cannot come into that judgment, and that they may also be given an eye to behold thee in all of thy priestly garments, and also as the blessed sacrifice who has given thyself to the heat of that brazen altar. O Lord, that thou mayest feed thy people. Thou knowest where that they are. Then they cannot do it with a look, O Lord. And then they also need to eat and to drink upon the way. And then every step needs to be shown unto them. And in all of their foolishness and in all of their ignorance, and then they need to be taken by the hand of that great shepherd. Oh, then they need to be led by thee through that wilderness, that they may come even into that city that thou hast laid away for thy people. Oh, Lord, remember thy dear church. It is the apple of thine eye. Oh, that it may be a church that is dwelling also in the midst of us and of our dear children, and give a holy jealousy in the hearts of many in our midst. Oh, that the shining of thy Spirit may enter into the darkness of the hearts of men, and that they may be given to see that there is a treasure to be sought, and that there is a portion for thy people. Oh, that the little children and the youth in this year, and that they may be given to see under all the administration of thy ordinances, and the blessedness of the people of the Lord, and that their blessed choice may be with the Ruth of old, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. And that they may be given to join themselves willingly unto the congregation. O Lord, deliver us from all the devices of that prince of darkness who seeks to destroy within the church of God, and that thou mayest glorify and magnify thy own name, and that thou may unite us in this year round about thy holy truth and thy holy word. Oh, give us faithfulness before thee. Give us wisdom in thy most holy sight. Lord, remember our denomination in thy mercy, because the ordinances, they must continue even until thou dost come upon the clouds of heaven. And then there are those that must be sent forth to bring thy word, that it may be to the gladness of those who do look, for the beauty of those that may minister in the house of God. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of them that do publish glad tidings of peace, that thou may be pleased in this year to send them forth, Lord, not men of their own choosing, but may it be by thy Spirit that thou mayest work with might and with power. We have no desert from our side. Oh, how many days we have left thee, days without number and serve this world. Oh, Lord, deal not with us according to our sins. Look upon our children and upon our youth, and wilt thou give the continuance of that truth that thou hast given to us from our forefathers. Oh, remember thou us, Lord, in thy mercy, and all that rule and reign over us. Oh, help them in all the circumstances we are in. Be thou guard over the province and over the nation that we live in, that thou mayest remember all that are afflicted. Then there are many also in these days that cannot come up among us, that must remain in their home. Lord, that thou may give healing for the body. Oh, give them to feel a little this afternoon, that also there thou art able to make it a little sanctuary, where thy Spirit does come. Help us to, Lord. Could it please thee to increase our strength, and that we may go more and more before this our flock, and that we may do the labors of our hands, and that thou mayest endue us with thy Spirit and power from on high. Oh, it all must come from thee. Without thee we can do nothing but spoil everything. But wilt thou do it for the glory of thy most holy name? And wilt thou do it for the salvation of our souls? And wilt thou do it for the upbuilding of thy kingdom? For in the multitude of subjects is the honor of the King. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us now sing from Psalter 193, stanzas 1 and 3 through 6. O God, to thy anointed King give truth and righteousness, and thy people he will justly judge, and give the poor redress. 1 and 3 through 6 of Psalter 193. beloved congregation, we heard that Christ was anointed, that he was appointed, that he was qualified to do what? To save his people from their sins. That is what becomes a wonder to those who with sorrow experience that they are not able to save themselves from their sins. But for most, the anointing of Christ means little or nothing. And why? Because sin means little or nothing. That is how we are born. Dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and in sins. If that is now the way that it remains until the day of our death, then we will die in enmity against him whom the Father has anointed to save from sin. Enmity. How great shall be the wrath of the Father who has said of him, his dear Son, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Enmity. David said, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. But a little. That is the demand of the Father, that men do kiss his beloved Son. And yet, it is that which no man is able to do by nature. As Christ himself said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That is the gift of faith that is experienced by the remnant of the Lord. It is just a remnant in this whole world, a little portion of this world that may experience what faith is in him in the midst of trials, persecutions, tribulations, and oppressions in the midst of this world. The Lord reveals his Son. And when the Lord reveals his Son in their great need, then they may look for a moment upon him, and they may see something of him in his offices, in his might, in his power, in his natures, in his states, something. To one this, to another that, according to the need that is experienced in the heart of the people, as so that he becomes precious unto their soul, then their soul can rest its case for a moment, to concern church, or in a more stable way, the established church. That is the greatest gift we can receive. Then we have what we need to go through this year. No, we have much more than that, don't we, young people, if we have that. You ever feel that? You say, if I have that, I have what I can go into the next year too. and the following and the following. Yes. Then we have what we need to stand in the judgment. Because then we have the favor of the judge, that oppressed people. And then we have what we need to go past our death, to go past the judgment into a great and never-ending eternity. Do you know what the Bible says? It must be sought. It is a gift. It is a gift indeed, but it must be sought. Well, we seek it now. In this year, when the services, they begin again, many of them children, retired. Maybe you say it is the last one now. These weeks, many services, one after the other. Or was there anything that may enter into your heart? Anything that says that is now the portion that I desire. That is now the portion that I need. And then you will desire that there will come more Sabbath days in that year to come. And then before you come to church, you will bow your knees. And you will ask the Lord to help the elder, to help your minister. And you will ask the Lord, may there be something now. Just something also for me. Our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion that was read to you, 1 Kings 3, verse 27. 1 Kings 3, verse 27. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. So far, the words of our text. Our theme is wisdom in judgment. First, for a difficult case. And second, to a profitable end. Wisdom in judgment, first, for a difficult case. And second, to a profitable end. Bring me a sword. What is that? Where are we, boys and girls? Are we there on the battlefield? Bring me a sword. Who says that? No, we are not in the battlefield. We are here in a judgment hall. There is sitting the king. His name is Solomon. He is young, maybe just in his early 20s. How old are you? Early 20s, young man. He's sitting on the judgment seat. In those days, the king was also the judge. What a responsibility that is laid on the shoulders of this young man. Two women stand before him. They're women, not foreign women. No, they are Israelitish women. But do you know what we read about them? They are harlots. They are wicked women. They are women that live in adultery. How is that with us, young people? Maybe we are also baptized members. Maybe we are also even confessing members. Is that our life? Do you dress like a harlot? That is the fad of today, isn't it? Do we have to follow those fads? Do we have to be like the world? You know, the Bible says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Be a different people, not to dress like the world, because indeed there are so many that look like a harlot in the days that we are living. But how many do live as a harlot How many are living in adultery? O young people, Satan comes to destroy. And when we are living, young people, like the world, and when all of these things, they are seen so lightly by us, then you must know that the word of the Lord says that whoremongers and adulterers, they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Two women, they are harlots. Both of them had a son. So sad. Adultery that destroys God's institution of marriage. Where then are the fathers of these two boys? Oh, what must that be to grow up in this world without a father? Can you imagine that, children? Sometimes the Lord takes a father away. Do you still have your father? That is not so easy when in their household there is no father. Oh, how the devil is so busy in our days. The world is full of this, and we see the consequences of this all around us. We live in the end times. Do you know what the Bible says in the end of time? Love shall wax cold. We see that all around us. Also, when a mother, she is with child, and she is not married, then what does she do? All the world says you cannot now care for that child. And your heart says that is a shame in the congregation. It is, it is. And the devil says kill him. That is what the devil says. Oh, we live in the end times. That was not true of these two women. They did not live in those times yet. When a mother, when so many millions of mothers can slay their own seed. Bring me a sword. It is a shocking demand that we hear here. There they are in that judgment hall. And there is that king, that young man. He says, bring me a sword. No one has expected that. Everyone is standing still. Why does he ask for a sword? What is he going to do with a sword? It is a difficult case. It is a very difficult case. There are two mothers, two women. One is telling the truth, and the other is telling a lie. Do you lie? Do you lie, children? Congregation? Oh, how difficult that is for a mother and a father when their children lie. How difficult that is for a teacher when the students lie, office bearers, magistrates, when their subjects lie. We are responsible for telling the truth. God knows the truth. God is truth. And it is truth that is lying at the foundation of all the communication of men in this world. If there were no truth-telling, all language would fail to communicate anything anymore. Oh, how responsible that we are to tell the truth. Do you know what the Lord says? That all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Two women. One is telling the truth, and the other is lying. There is only one child present. Why? The other is dead. What an awful thing. Poor mother, when she has awakened in that morning and she has noticed that her child is dead. There are some of us parents here that know what that is. When the child is dead, and what it means to mourn and to weep. What must a woman do? Say she must go upon her knees. That is right. Does she do that? No. No, she doesn't do that. We don't read that here. Is she not an Israelite? Does she not know there is a God in heaven? Oh, yes. But she has no place to go. She does not know that way. She has a form of religion, but she does not know the God of Israel. Actually, she is angry at the Lord. Angry at the Lord. Are you ever angry at the Lord? And why is she angry? Because of his sovereignty. She says, that woman may have, and I am not allowed to have. She is jealous of that woman, and she would like to have what that woman may have. What would you say to her? Or you would say, woman, go on your knees. Ask the Lord. Woman, forsake your sinful life. Marry a husband. Walk in the right way. Wait upon the Lord. And who can tell if the Lord will give to thee a son out of his right hand and in his favor? No. There is no inner life. There is no prayer life. She does not know that way, that very blessed way that the people of the Lord may have through all the trials and through all the tribulations that they have to experience in this world. Those times when they may know in all their own wretchedness that there is a God in heaven. How great, how glorious, how mighty, but also how merciful and how gracious that God is. No. Oh, she is a woman that has a religion, but it is only outward. What does she do? She takes this matter into her own hands. What does she do? She steals that child. Does the Lord not give it to her? Then she will take it. Then she will take it. She takes the child in the night, and secretly, no one else can see her. When that mother is laying so still, secretly, she is placing that living babe in her own bosom. She pretends it is rightfully her own. The woman is not bashful. She is not timid. And she is determined that she is going to hold on to this living treasure. She is bold. She is ready even to go into the court and to stand before the king. She does not realize. She doesn't realize the wisdom that is in that court. But she thinks that she will not be found out. How is that now for that mother? That mother of that living child, how distressed that she was in that morning. She has awakened, and her child was dead. How she has mourned, how she has wept. But then you know what we read? The Bible says here that she considered. What did she do? Oh, she looked a little closer. She examined it again. No, she says, I am mistaken. It is not so. This is not my child. She realizes that she has been deceived. Give me my child. No. No, that is my child. Or maybe she has tried by force to take it away, to recover once again that which she knows is hers. But she cannot. She is helpless. Or maybe the other is much stronger than she. Maybe she has hid the child. Maybe she has support all around her, friends that do help her. What can she do? She is a distressed woman. She is an oppressed woman. But she is helpless. She is weak. And on the side of her oppressor, the Bible says, there is power. And now something becomes a wonder. Shall we think about that for a moment? On the side of her oppressors, there is power. She is weak. She is helpless. Something becomes a wonder to her. And what was that? That there is an office. That there is an office that the Lord has ordained. That there is a king. That there is a magistrate. Perhaps never before in her life has she experienced this. She has known her whole life that that office existed and what that office was for. But now she experiences the need for the office, the institution of the Lord. Oh, what a wonder to her that there is a king, that there is a judge in the land that she may have recourse unto, that this oppressed mother has a place where she may go in all of her distress. Oh, that institution of the Lord, the offices of the Lord in the church, in the home, in the government, oh, they are so, so sought by the devil. But the father's out. But the magistrate out. But the office bearer's out. Oh, who rejoices? It is all the work of Satan. Why? Because the Lord has placed them there, especially for his church, for those who are oppressed, those who are not able to help themselves, those two Israelitish harlots, they are a picture of the visible church of God here upon this world. What does that whole church of God consist of? Sinners. Harlots. Filthy. Disobedient unto the Lord. There is no difference between any one of us. From our side, it is all sin. And now the Lord, He makes a difference between the one and the other. One receives and the other does not. Why? The one harlot more worthy? No. It is purely the sovereign good pleasure of the Lord. Ever angry? Maybe you have said that in your heart already. And we have said we must seek this in our life, in this year. You say, why? The Lord has an election. If I am not elected, then I am reprobate. How do you know you are reprobate? Did the Lord tell you that? Is that revealed to you out of heaven? Are you angry at the Lord? What must we say to you? Go on your knees. Forsake your sin. Pray unto the Lord. Walk in the right way. Who can tell? If the Lord may be gracious unto you and give unto you out of His own right hand. But do you know what there is so much of? There is so much thievery. Thievery and lying. Because a hypocrite, he cannot wait. And a hypocrite is not willing to pray, nor to tell the truth. He is not bashful. He is willing to go, he thinks, even into the court, where he thinks that no one is going to know that fruit that he has stolen is actually not his. No one will know it. Because I have done it secretly in the dark. In the night, it takes place here, in my heart. No one else can know what is actually taking place in my heart. But now there is a people to whom that fruit actually and rightly belongs. The Lord has given it to them, even though they are wicked, even though they are an harlot, yet the Lord has given to them the gift of grace. Sometimes they awake in the morning, and they are afraid that there is no living fruit anymore. Sometimes they awake in the morning and they think it is all dead. It is all gone. Oh, how they mourn. How they weep. And then by the light of day, they begin to consider. They begin to look over it. They say, is that really my case? And then the Lord shows them a little something. old, and they say, it cannot be. And then there is more oppression. Because then from another side, the devil will come and try to take it away. The fruit, that living fruit of the life of God's true people. He will use even the hypocrite in the church. People that speak about high things, they have actually stolen. They speak about things that are so much further. And they say, ah, what do you have? It is nothing. Oh, if there may be a beginning in your life. And then that people, they shrink away. They shrink away. And where do they go? They go in their inner chamber. They go to the judge of all the earth, and they seek him there. And they say, Lord, it is true. It's just a little thing. It was just so, so small. But have I stolen it? Have I really stolen it? Oh Lord, or hast thou given it to me? Was it not from thy own word? Was it not given unto me in a personal way? Do you know what is such a wonder to that people? That there is an authority above all the authority in this world. An authority that knows the truth of what is living in their heart, that is mightier than every oppressor of their poor soul. That is the way it was for this woman. For this woman. Oh, she says, let us go now to the judge. She knew. She knew. And then she stands there before that judge. And what does that judge say? Bring me a sword. Bring me a sword. How that has gone in as a sword into the heart of that mother. Then it has become worse for her in the judgment. Oh, then she cries out. Oh, then she has to experience that she did not deserve that child either. She actually has no rights to that child. And yet, oh, that fruit. She cries out to that king, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. Why? That woman is ready to be called a liar her whole life. The woman is ready to be called a hypocrite her whole life by the whole world. If only that it may be true. If only that child may live. Then there is a people, they are looking for the substance. They are looking for the life. And everything that is around it, that is able in their eyes to fall away. If only it may be true. It may be true in my life. Let us sing. Psalter 18. 1, 5, 6, 7, and 9. 18, 1, 5, 6, 7, and 9. Why standest thou afar, O Lord? Why art thou hid in trouble's hour? The wicked persecute the poor in haughty pride and reckless power. 1, 5, 6, 7, and 9 of 18. Then the king answered and said, "Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof." What a wonder. What wisdom in the judgment. How does the king know? Because the king has said it himself. The one saith, "This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead." And the other said, "Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living." You say, "Surely he has called for witnesses." Yes, but there were none. They two alone in the house. Indeed, a difficult case. And then think about the story of that true mother. Because she says to the king that this woman, she has taken my son out of my bosom while I was sleeping. You say, how easy that is to refute, right, children? You say, how can you say that? Because you were sleeping. Yeah. So the wicked, they are ready to mock at the righteous. And that is a people who have so often no proofs. They have no evidences that they can come up with to say that that fruit now is the fruit that comes out of the Lord for me. They cannot defend themselves in order that they may have arguments to hold on to what the Lord has given unto them. Then Satan plays with them just like our children, they will play with a ball. And now the king, he comes to the aid of that distressed mother. "Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof." How did he know? Well, he knew it by the nature of a mother. That woman herself had no proofs. But Solomon, he makes manifest the true evidences of a mother. What they are. And he has that exemplified before that whole court, that this woman, she is the mother of this child. So that there is no question. That is now the great wonder for the distressed church of God. That the king, he knows the nature of the true people of the Lord. They have no proofs. They cannot give their arguments. But Christ, he says, "I know my sheep." What is it? It is the wisdom that is given to him in his offices. The wisdom of judgment to judge between the righteous and the wicked. Those who are God's children and those who are not. Psalm 72. You will read it when you come home. David, he writes a song for Solomon, his son. But it was not just for Solomon. No, that is going much further than Solomon, because Solomon, boys and girls, He is just a type. Just a type of that greater Solomon. And in that song, there he speaks about his name that shall endure forever. Solomon's? No. The greater Solomon. That name shall endure as long as the sun. Oh, it shall endure even longer than the sun. And then he prays, give the king thy judgments, O Lord, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and the poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace unto the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and he shall break in pieces the oppressor. That is now that child of which those angels did sing unto those shepherds, unto you is born this day. In the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, that is the anointed of the Lord, that is the appointed of the Lord, that is the qualified of the Lord, to give wisdom in the judgment. He shall know who are his. Give her the living child. And in no one slate, she is the mother thereof. Oh, so that anointed king, that anointed Christ, is going to discern in the great judgment his own people. And to what end? We can read it here. There are three consequences of that righteous judgment, of that wisdom in judgment. What are they? Oh, there is in the first place deliverance. Deliverance for the distressed. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. That people shall be delivered, because they are his. In the second place, there is shame unto the wicked. The Lord shall bring their wickedness upon their own head as the king, and he shall make them to go away ashamed. Solomon, he writes, that they shall fall into the net which they have laid, into the pit that they have digged. Peninnah shall not always provoke Hannah. No, Daniel, he may be oppressed, but the Lord will throw the enemy and all their seed into that pit, that they may be consumed of those lions. Awful. Oh, there are two sides of the judgment of the Lord. Of the righteousness of the Lord. And now, third thing, what do we read here? Fear, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. What does the Lord do? Oh, there are people that the Lord is going to stop in their heart, will also to be doing wickedness, but he will make them to fear. And he sees that Solomon has been given wisdom by the Lord, and that his eyes are penetrating, and they do not dare. So the Lord by his judgments in the world, in his calm and grace, he is making men, evil men, to stop. To stop. It is not for the good of their soul. No, it is only for the good of his people. And then there will be others. They are not only restrained, that the Lord may give time to his people, that the Lord may gather in his church, but that there will also be others. By those judgments, the righteous judgments of the Lord, that are going to be converted. They are going to be stopped by the Lord. And then the Lord is going to pierce their heart. Oh, they are going to say he is the all-knowing God. And that fear of the Lord is going to be born in the heart of those people. Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. What happens in your heart when you hear that judgment? What happens in your heart, children? When you hear what Solomon says, young people, you hear the judgment of the king, of the judge, are you glad? Does it make you glad? Say yes. Why? Why are you glad? Say, because it is right. It is a wonder that lives in our hearts, is it not? That is common grace. That it still lives in the heart of fallen people. That we are glad when there is a right judgment. Is everyone glad? No, there is another woman. She is not so glad. No. Why not? She different? She different from us who are glad to hear this? No, she is not different. But it concerns her. Concerns her. Thus, she will overlook righteousness. She will overlook justice. She will pervert it in order that she may get what she wants. That is our sin. That is our sin. Oh, the Lord has left sparks of that image of God in his creature. But there are so many prejudices. There is so much desire for evil in our hearts that we are willing to overlook what is right in order that we may get the things which our flesh desires. Oh, what a gladness that is in the heart of God's church when the Lord delivers his people. You can read about Elizabeth. Her friends and cousins, they heard that the Lord had visited her. And then what do we read? Then they came and they rejoiced with her. That is now the rejoicing of the true people of the Lord. Then they may say, come, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what the Lord has done for my soul. And then all those people, they may rejoice together. But there is still so much unrighteousness in the world, is there not? how many courts are in the world. And in those courts, there is so much unrighteous judgment. And that congregation is going to increase more and more as the world comes to its end. The wickedness of the wicked against the remnant of the Lord, the true church of God, is going to increase as the world comes to its end. In the persecutions that are at our doorstep, post-millennialism is not true. No. That idea, in the Christian world, that everything, and we must usher it in ourselves, everything will become better and better. And Christ is reigning 1,000 years in heaven, and he is bringing his church into a glorious and more glorious state on the earth during those 1,000 years. Disease is going to be put away. Evil is going to be put away. Everyone is going to love one another. There is going to be peace. United Nations, all one, no more war. And then Christ is going to come. No. No. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible speaks about a great persecution that is coming for God's true church here below. And we see that coming closer and closer, faster and faster. How will that now be for God's church? Will they have to defend themselves? Congregation, they will not be able. They will not be able. Ask God's people if they are able to defend themselves. But they don't need to either. Why not? Because there is an anointed king, and he is sitting upon the throne of glory. No, they do not need to protect themselves, because he knows who that they are. They do not need to defend the portion, the little portion, the little child that the Lord has given to them. Why not? They didn't deserve it. They are in themselves only harlots. They have no more right to living fruit than anybody else in the whole world. No more right to it. But it was given to them. And that great defender of his church is going to defend the portion that he gives unto his people. John saw him. His eyes were as a flame of fire. They're going to penetrate. Will we dare? Will we dare to come into his presence? It's something that is stolen. If Solomon was given divine wisdom and he could make it plain with one word, bring me a sword. Oh, how much more shall that greater Solomon pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. Oh, God's children then shall be owned by him, that oppressed church, and every liar and every hypocrite will be made ashamed, and he will receive all the glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, give to us a solemn impression of thy wisdom in judgment. For thou seest the secrets of each of our hearts, and there will be no lying at thy judgment seat. Oh, give us honesty in this year. And when we have stolen, wilt thou show it to us and give us true repentance and forgiveness. And wilt thou make it true, Lord? Wilt thou show thy people, give them to consider, bring them to thy footstool, and open in the midst of thy church, who are thine. Reveal, O Lord, for the glory of thy name, and for the rejoicing of all the humble, to bring us safely to our places. Keep us in this week, spare us from any sudden and unexpected death. Be with all the sick, all that mourn, those under doctor's care, and may have to receive tests. Wilt thou be on the right and on the left? Forgive and take away our many sins, and receive our thanks. For thy help also in bringing thy word this hour. Blessed for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 21, 1 through 4. O Lord, be thou my helper true, for just and godly men are few, the faithful who can find. And what follows, 1 through 4 of Psalter 21. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.